no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio drama for you this week, beginning with Stars Over Hollywood. We'll hear their episode from May 24th, 1952, titled The Experiment. Then it's The Big Story and Manhunt in Manhattan, their episode from January 7th, 1948.
This is Angela Lansbury with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's greatest stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as Joan Crawford, Cornell Wilde, Anita Louise. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed a star who is currently appearing in the King Brothers Technicolor production, Mutiny. Angela Lansbury, the story, The Experiment. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Yes, Carnation is truly an all-purpose milk. You can use it just like cream, because undiluted Carnation, as it pours from the can, has the consistency of good, rich cream. And there's cream in every drop. And when you need milk, double rich Carnation mixed with an equal amount of water gives you milk that's richer than your state standard for bottled milk. Yet amazingly enough, Carnation costs a lot less than bottled milk and less than half as much as cream. So it's a fact. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation. No other kind of milk is so economical. Why not stock up on Carnation evaporated milk the next time you shop? And now, Act One of The Experiment, starring Angela Lansbury in the role of Margaret. A cold rain falls on the great gray prison. Armed guards silently shepherd a taut-faced young man from his cell toward the warden's office. Meantime, in that office, the warden is differing sharply with the attractive woman who is his visitor.
And I repeat, Dr. Galloway, that you're risking your life in this experiment.
You have the governor's authorization, Warden.
Yes, I know. And if the circumstances were a little different...
Meaning you expected a man?
When I was told that Dr. Galloway would arrive this morning to choose a prisoner for an important medical experiment, why, naturally,
I'm sorry to have disappointed you.
Oh, it's not that. I'm considering the danger to which you're exposing yourself.
I assure you, Warden, that I'm perfectly capable of taking care of myself.
In ordinary things, yes. But this prisoner you want for your experiment is a murderer, convicted of cold-blooded first-degree murder. His sentence is 99 years. Lots of people think he should have gotten the chair.
Terry Risden. I remember the case vaguely.
Yeah, the guards are bringing him here now.
We'll have police protection at the laboratory during the experiment.
If you'd work here, where we could give you real protection...
Oh, it's impossible. I must have access to my own laboratory, my own apparatus. I'm too close now to let anything stop me.
If there were another prisoner who'd qualify...
You only had two volunteers, and the other man was much too old.
Your instructions were so explicit. The subject's chances of pulling through are so slim.
Actually, I've every confidence in my treatment. But I wanted the risk clearly understood.
In Risden's case, serving a 99-year sentence, he's got little to lose. Oh, here they are. Come in.
They said you were ready to see me.
That's right, Risden. Come in. All right, Sullivan, I'll take over now.
I said this Dr. Galloway was here.
I am. You must be Terry Risden.
You're the doctor that's making this experiment?
Yes.
They didn't tell me it was a woman.
I hope that doesn't prejudice you against the experiment.
Prejudice me? No, why should it? Makes no difference to me who's in charge.
Warden, I wonder if I might talk to Mr. Risden alone for a few minutes.
Well, all right. I'll be just outside.
You won't mind answering a few questions, will you?
Even if I do mind, what difference does that make? I'm your property from now on, Doctor.
Would you mind telling me why you volunteered?
I can't see that it makes any difference.
You knew this was a dangerous experiment, that you might not live through it. And still...
You can be quite a gambler, Doctor, when you've nothing to lose.
You've been here a long time.
A little over a year. Just 98 to go.
If we're successful, Mr. Risden, this can mean a great deal to a great many people.
That's great.
Have you ever known anyone who suffered from a rare blood disease?
No, I can't say that I have. I guess it must be pretty bad.
It is. I've worked a long time on this experiment. It means a great deal to me.
When will we be leaving?
In a few minutes. Mr. Risden, the warden seems to feel that I should be apprehensive about you. He thinks you're a dangerous man.
The warden should know.
Personally, I have every confidence in you, Mr. Risden.
I'm glad you do, Doctor. I'm glad you do.
This is the laboratory, Mr. Risden. Your room is here. Sorry about the bars on the windows.
Oh, don't be. I'd miss them if they weren't there.
We'll want to start early in the morning. I have to break down the blood cells before I can make my tests.
Doctor, just one thing.
Yes?
Thanks.
Thanks?
For treating me like a human being. It hasn't happened for almost 2 years. In the car coming here, I almost forgot that I... Well, anyhow, you're all right.
In the laboratory here, we're two people doing a very big job, Mr. Risden. That's all. What you've done before or haven't done in the past doesn't matter. Succeeding is all that matters.
You won't believe me, but I've got to say this. I didn't commit that murder they sentenced me for. It sounds ridiculous to say it, but I was framed.
You shouldn't have assumed that I wouldn't believe you.
I don't know exactly why, but I just had to tell you that.
Well, I'm glad. Do you know who did kill the man?
I know. A very smart gentleman named Piper. Tony Piper. He owns a nightclub uptown. He got rid of Weeks and me at the same time.
Weeks was the murdered man?
Yes, that's right. There was someone who could have... Well, that doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I'm glad you told me. I would have asked, but I wasn't sure.
I saw the lights in here.
Oh, Susan, come on in. Mr. Risden, this is Susan Brown, my new laboratory assistant.
Susan Brown? I'm glad to know you.
How do you do, Mr. Risden?
Tomorrow we start on a big job. I'll see both of you then. Coming, Susan?
Well, I just want to check this one call to Dr. Arlock up.
All right. See you in the morning.
Oh, Terry.
What are you doing here? What did she mean we were her assistant?
Well, I read you volunteered that they were bringing you here. I've been working as a nurse, and now it seems like a chance to help. So.
Aren't you a little late with your help, Sue?
Terry, I was wrong. I know it now. Please don't look at me like that.
The doctor doesn't know that you're my sister?
No. Terry, why wouldn't you see me at the prison?
What does it matter now? It's all finished.
It's not. Terry, I divorced Tony. I want to help you, please.
What can you do? This place is surrounded by cops.
Some way I'll manage it. Some way I'll get you out of here, Terry, I promise.
Sure, lousy floor show you got here now, Tony. You're lousy.
Thanks for the free criticism. The paying customers like it. Close the door.
Yeah. You know, never was a drawing card like Sue. Too bad you and her wife.
Huh? I was sick of it. After the trial, she got on my nerves.
Oh, speaking of the trial, what is I read in the papers that they let Terry Risden out of prison?
But what are you talking about?
Well, now don't tell me Tony Piper is still jumpy about the frame he built for his brother-in-law.
You got a great sense of humor, Pete. Maybe I should use you in my floor show.
Well, Risden volunteered for some sort of medical experiment they're working on at the Patterson Clinic.
He's here in town, then, huh?
Very risky experiment, seems like. They asked for volunteers at the prison, and Risden spoke up.
Risky, you say?
The guinea pig may not pull through.
Maybe this doctor will do what the state wouldn't. Finish Risden off for me.
It sure would be great. Not that you got anything to worry about, even as it is.
As long as wisdom's alive, Pete, there's always a chance, and I don't like chances. I prefer sure things.
I like the way you handle those instruments, Doctor. Give a man the impression that you really know what you're doing.
Well, I have your confidence at least, Terry. Now, if I can just do as good a job on the medical world...
I guess some of the boys don't think you're on the right track, huh?
A great many don't. It's not a simple problem. And the fact that I'm a woman... Terry, the breakdown is complete in your blood cells now.
So all you have to do now is cure me. I think you can do it.
Thanks. What did you do before?
Me? I was a reporter. I went in for exposés.
And that's how you happened to get into trouble?
That's right. Someone I knew worked for Piper. I was sure he was using that nightclub as sort of a front. Just when I was beginning to get some evidence, I found myself standing over Ed Week's body with a gun in my hand. Unfortunately, Ed and I had had a few words not long before. So it was the perfect frame.
And you think that Piper killed Weeks?
I know he did. All the evidence against me was circumstantial, was planted. So Piper got rid of Weeks and me.
Have you appealed?
I appealed. My appeal was denied. Margaret, you believe me, don't you? You really believe me?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I've no right to tell you this. We were going to keep the past out of the laboratory, weren't we?
Sometimes it's not as easy to control an experiment as we'd like it to be.
If you can believe me, Margaret, there's hope.
Of course there's hope. Why, after you're well again...
If I'm well again.
I believe in you. Can't you return the compliment?
If you knew how much I've come to believe in you. Count on you.
Together, Terry, we can clear you. I know we can.
Together.
But now we've got to make you well again. That's first, giving you back your health. I had to go back to the hospital this afternoon, Susan. You're to keep hourly records of Mr. Wilson's pulse, temperature, and blood pressure.
Yes, Dr. Galway.
How are we doing, Doctor?
Well, it is slower than I thought. Too early, really, to tell, I guess.
I don't feel so good.
You just rest. Call me at the hospital if there's any marked change.
Yes, Doctor.
Remember, Susan, hourly records. That data will be very important later.
I'll remember, Doctor. Terry.
She might hear you.
Terry, I think I can get you out of here. After 6 o'clock, there are only two policemen, O'Brien in back and Schwartz in front.
So?
Well, I've paid up to O'Brien. I take him hot coffee every night. Now, when the time comes, I'll put something in his coffee.
No, it wouldn't work, Sue. Just forget it.
Can't forget it. Terry, I know what I did to you. I should have testified at the trial, but Tony wouldn't let me. I could have saved you. Please forgive me, Tony.
Now, don't cry, Sue. You're only a scared kid.
I'll smuggle you a gun, too. We ought to try it. Saturday at the latest. O'Brien may be shifted next week.
See, this is Tuesday. Sue, I may not be able to go. The experiment shouldn't work. I'm so weak now.
Terry, if we don't try it Saturday, there may not be another chance.
Dr. Galloway said she'd try to help me.
She says that now, but what could she do? You've got to take this chance when it comes, Terry. Saturday night?
Saturday night.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, The Experiment, starring Angela Lansbury and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here's Carnation's Home Service Director, Mary Blake, to tell you how to make Memorial Day a day more to be remembered than ever. Mary?
Thank you, Art. Mine is a picnic suggestion, naturally, because Memorial Day is a great day for picnics, as everybody knows. And a great dish for picnics? Is fried chicken.
Make mine crispy and tender, Mary.
That's something we'll leave to Carnation, Art. Because the best way to get a crisp outside crust on fried chicken and at the same time keep the inside moist and tender is to prepare it with Carnation evaporated milk.
Sounds simple.
All you do is to dip the chicken in 1/2 cup undiluted Carnation, then in 1/2 cup seasoned cornmeal.
1/2 cup Carnation and 1/2 cup cornmeal. And fry in the usual way, I suppose.
That's right, Art. And it's the quickest way I know to have delicious fried chicken.
Delicious, friends, because there's no other kind of milk quite like Carnation evaporated milk. Carnation is more than double rich, so it adds richness to any recipe. And Carnation is heat refined, which means smoother blending with other ingredients.
And there's no better proof of Carnation's superiority in cooking than in fried chicken made the Carnation way. I hope you'll try it for your Memorial Day picnic.
Yes, friends, by all means, try Carnation in your fried chicken batter, as Mary Blake suggests. The delicious results will convince you that Carnation performs cooking miracles not possible with any other kind of milk. Get in the habit of cooking regularly with Carnation, the milk from contented cows. We return now to the second act of The Experiment, starring Angela Lansbury in the role of Margaret Galloway.
I think that we're beginning to make a little progress. I should know by late Thursday night or Friday morning.
We'll know by Saturday. One way or the other. Won't we?
We'll know by then. Terry, if we should succeed, I may have another favor to ask you.
Oh?
At the hospital, there's a child, a little girl. She isn't expected to live. All the specialists have been consulted and they've given up. It's the same blood disease. If you react favorably, and if we could then give her a transfusion, she might have a chance. Just a fighting chance.
Transfusion?
The process is still so slow, I wouldn't have the time to treat her as I have you. But if through a transfusion we could gain a little time...
It might save her life.
It might. Look, I've no right to ask this of you, Terry. And I'm not even sure that child's parents will allow it.
You can count on me, Margaret.
I've been thinking about you, Terry. I mean, what we can do after.
Say, how did anyone as pretty as you ever end up in a laboratory, anyway?
Oh, it's a long story. I was very much in love once.
Oh?
He died. He had a blood disease.
I see.
Things like that shape our lives.
Because the man you love died. Other people. Thousands of them, maybe. We'll get a chance to live. Whatever happens, this being here with you, it's done something for me.
Done something?
I came here fed up with the world. I knew there wasn't any decent human being alive. Whatever happens to me now, I've got a fresh slant on things.
I'm glad, Terry. I guess I'd better check that pulse.
Hey, Tony.
What's the matter with you, Pete? What's the idea of busting in on me like this?
Look, I found out where your ex-wife is.
What do I care where Sue is now? She can't do me any harm.
Yeah, that's what you think. She's working at a laboratory where they got a brother.
What? Those two are together?
Yeah.
I thought he wouldn't speak to her.
She'll probably try to help him make a break. And if he gets out, you know who we'll want to see first.
Where is this clinic I got risen?
On River Drive. Pretty far out.
You want to come with me?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'm going to personally see that Risden doesn't make a break.
How are you feeling, Terry?
Stronger. I think I'm just weak from being off my feet for so long.
Terry, I've just talked to the parents of that child. They'll take the chance if you will.
You mean the transfusion?
I shouldn't have asked you to do it, but she's an only child. She can't live 24 hours unless...
This is Saturday.
Yes. It's almost 8.
8?
Yes. I can be back with the child in an hour. It's up to you, Terry.
All right. I'll do it.
Oh, Terry. You're such a wonderful person. Just rest until I get back. I'll be an hour at the most.
Okay, Margaret. Now, what am I going to do? Can't walk out on her and the little girl. What am I going to do?
Terry, she's gone. Not a chance.
You've given the cop that stuff.
She'll be asleep in another 5 minutes. But we've got to hurry. I don't know how long it lasts.
She's going after the little girl, the one who needs a transfusion.
I'm not thinking of Sarah.
She's counting on me.
You'll never get another chance. Once the policeman comes to, we're finished. We've got to hurry.
She'd understand. I've got to think of myself.
It doesn't matter whether she understands or not. Here. Here's a gun. Now, hurry. I'll help you. Every second counts, Terry. Every second.
No, I can't walk out on Margaret and the little girl. I just can't do it.
You're in love with her, aren't you?
Yes. But that's only part of it.
The biggest part. Look, Terry, if she loves you, she'd want you to save yourself. Now, please.
It's no use. I can't run away from this, Sue. I'd never be able to forget that she counted on me and I let her down.
Well, you're so weak, we probably couldn't have made it anyway.
Maybe after the transfusion.
Oh, that policeman won't sleep forever.
I'm sorry, Sue. I suppose I'm a fool, but it's the way it is.
When I should have helped you, I didn't. And now when I try to help, you won't let me. Oh, Terry, they'll take you back from there.
Margaret thinks we have a chance of reopening the case.
Well, I tried. At least I tried.
Of course you did. We're all square, Sue. You've got no reason to blame yourself anymore.
Someone just came in.
She must be back with the little girl.
Dr. Gallagher?
Not exactly, baby. What? Not exactly.
Tony!
Piper. Or Fetty.
That's right. Now, ain't this a picture, Tony? Been missing you at the club, Sue. But I can't say I've missed your newspaper articles, Chris.
How did you two get in here?
Since you doped the cop, we decided to come in and pay a little social call.
Yeah, we thought you two might be planning a trip.
Well, you thought wrong.
Why else would you dope the cop? You had it all figured out, didn't you, Risen? You were going to get out of here and even things with me with the help of my pretty ex-wife.
Tony.
I did plan a break, but I changed my mind.
When you saw this gun in my hand?
No, before you came in.
I got news for you, Risen. You and Sue are going to be found dead right here in this laboratory.
You, Tony.
How do you figure that, Piper?
I'm going to blast you. Only when the cops find you, they're going to see it as a suicide pact. They'll know Sue's your sister, figure she sneaked a gun into you and that you killed her and yourself rather than go back to prison.
Another frame-up, eh, Piper? Even better than before.
What was that? I didn't hear anything. Yeah, that's right, Terry. Another frame. Fits you even better than the last one. That cop out there will know Sue drugged him. It's perfect. Both of you will be out of my way permanently.
How long do you think you can keep this up, Piper? Framing people, I mean.
There'll be no questions asked this time.
There weren't many asked the last time. When you shot Weeks.
Not many people knew I had such a good reason for killing Weeks.
And then you were very smart about trapping me.
I had such good bait. I knew you wouldn't want anything to happen to Sue.
You won't get away with this, Tony. There's a policeman on the front door. When he hears the shot...
When he hears the shot, he'll come running in and find the two of you dead. The gun in Riston's hand. And me and Pete will be long gone.
Come on.
Tony, we better get with it. Cop ain't gonna sleep forever.
Yeah, right.
Sorry to do this, baby. If you'd played it Tony's way...
Put that gun down, Tony.
The Risen got a gun.
Jerry! Jerry! Keep down! Stow down! Get your hands up.
What? Cop. Peter, you hurt.
My shoulder.
All right, let's have those guns. Back against the wall, you.
Terry, Susan, are you all right?
Sure. We're all right. Pete's the only one that got hurt. So where did you come from?
Well, I came in the back entrance and found O'Brien. I brought him around and he and I got Schwartz. We heard everything.
You heard what Piper said about the frame-up?
Yes.
I'd better call a squad car and an ambulance.
Oh, I'm so glad I smuggled that gun to you.
Yeah, saved our lives.
You were going to break our hands.
I never intended to, Margaret.
It was my idea. You see, Dr. Galloway, I'm Terry's sister.
Did you bring the little girl?
Yes, but are you sure that you
Let's
want...
Let's go, Margaret. I'm ready.
When Dr. Margaret Galloway concluded the presentation of evidence, the entire association rose as a man to give her a resounding ovation. When this tireless doctor's experiments were translated into practical techniques, it will mean the saving of scores of lives yearly. The entire civilized world might well join the association in its tribute to Dr. Galloway.
Satisfied?
Completely. Recognition of my work, beautifully reported to the public by the man I love.
Well, considering I'm a little rusty, I thought it was a pretty well-written story.
As my husband, dear, you'll forget gangsters and racketeers and concentrate on micro-profanity.
You're the doctor.
What a wonderful conclusion for the most successful experiment of our career.
Not the conclusion, darling. Only the beginning.
The curtain comes down on the final act of the experiment. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Angela Lansbury.
In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Angela?
Well, I'd like that very much, huh?
And, Angela, this might be a very good time to take a second bow as the mother of a new and healthy baby boy, 4-month-old Anthony Peter Shaw.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, Aunt, because I would have otherwise. My husband and I are so completely delighted we can talk of nothing else.
Well, that's natural enough, Angela. As with any new parents, you find that baby is the most important element in your life. And for that very reason, I'm sure you're starting young Anthony off on Carnation Evaporated Milk.
We are.
So many mothers do these days. After all, there's no finer milk you can give a baby than Carnation. With all the growing there is to be done, babies certainly can use Carnation's wonderful supply of milk minerals and vitamin D. Bones and teeth, you know. And besides that, Carnation is ever so easy on babies' delicate digestive systems. Doubly safe, too. Carnation is pasteurized and then sterilized after the can is sealed. So, all in all, it's really no wonder 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it. It's definitely the milk every doctor knows. Angela, yours was truly a great performance today. And in appreciation, we'd like you to have something that holds special significance for any Carnation mother. This bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Why, Art, they're simply beautiful. Thank you. And Art, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you young girls listening that there's a career of great interest and service waiting for you as an armed forces or civilian nurse. Inquire at your nearest hospital or collegiate school of nursing the very first chance you get. Now, may I ask what you have planned for next week's show?
Well, our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be Anita Louise.
That's wonderful. And the story?
It's a dramatic play about a girl who has two separate personalities and finds the way to decide between them. The title is Moonlight Sonata.
Sounds good. I won't miss it. And now, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Angela Lansbury. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by John McGreevy. Supporting Miss Lansbury were David Ellis, Lillian Baeff, Bill Conrad, Tony Barrett, and Joe Duvall. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was transcribed and directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Anita Louise in Moonlight Sonata. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
What's the matter? Hey, put that gun down, Joey.
What's the matter, huh? Nothing. Not a thing. Just ratted. You just went and sang to the cops.
I didn't.
Shut up. Shut up and start to die. Because here it comes.
Oh, don't, Joey, don't.
Just a gag, Moose. It wasn't loaded. I was getting bored, so I thought I'd have a laugh. Okay, now let's get to work. I got a nice job. All lined up.
The Big Story. another in the thrilling series based on true experiences of newspaper reporters. Tonight, to Ted Prager of the New York Daily News, goes the big story. Now, the authentic and exciting story of Manhunt in Manhattan.
You are Ted Prager, night reporter for the New York Daily News. And murder is almost old hat to you. You've covered the doings of Vincent Mad Dog Carl, Dutch Schultz, Oney Madden, and Murder Incorporated for your paper. You know your underworld. You know robbery, arson, burglary, and homicide. Almost inside out. The way an insurance man knows statistics. Yes, you know your business. You're even a little blasé about crime. Until one night, about 1 a.m, you're in a friendly bar on East 7th Street. And the conversation is small talk with Sandy, the bartender.
Oh, football's not football anymore. Too professional, Sandy. Give me those college teams.
I agree with you, Mr. Prager. You take that old Notre Dame team, I'd rather watch them than it. Hey, Mr. Prager, you see that?
What?
That guy just walked in.
The one with his hair all slicked down?
Yeah. Looks like there's 4 or 5 of them.
Say, I know that face from somewhere. Some small-time mug or other.
What are they spreading out like that for?
I don't know. Sandy, it looks like a stick-up.
There's a smart man. Cute, too. Give that man a cigar. That's just what it is.
Out, everybody, quiet. And you people haven't figured it out yet. This is what we call a hold-up. Get your wallets out, rings, jewelry from the ladies. My boys will pass among you. Barkeep, you.
Me?
Open up that register and empty it on a bar. Now, make the rounds, boys. And you don't have to leave none of these good people carfare. Let them walk.
What are you looking at, cute guy?
Nothing.
I see what you got.
Here's my money.
Yeah. $40. Now take your pen, too, and your wallet and that ring.
Okay.
What do you think you're looking at?
My face? Don't you like what you see? Maybe you want to remember me. Is that it?
Here.
Moose.
Yeah?
Give me a blackjack. This cute fella here is giving me the once-over.
Chief, we're all set. We got everything cleaned it out good. Let's go.
Okay, we go. Too bad, cute guy. I was just going to give you something to remember me by. So long, dopes.
Then something incredible happens. 5 crooks walked in, but only 3 leave. 2 of them are still standing in the bar, looking bewildered. Not knowing what to do. Then you realize that they're not armed. Maybe you can stop them. You move, and pandemonium breaks loose.
All right, stand back there. You two, stop, or I... Okay.
Good shooting there, officer.
Thanks.
Well, you couldn't get them all, but at least you got 2 of them.
Yeah.
Like that, officer?
I don't think so. Say, who are you? You look familiar.
Ted Prager of the News.
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember you, Mr. Prager. Excuse me, I got to call the ambulance.
Nice work, officer. I'd like to write you up. What's your name?
Matt Gaines, 22nd Precinct. I could use the story, Mr. Prager. You could say it's too bad I only got 2 of them.
Too bad I only got 2 of them. Ain't that the funniest thing you ever heard?
Oh, that's terrific, Joey.
Listen, when Joey Rice does it, it gets done.
Yeah.
Too bad I only got 2 of them, said the policeman. Listen, from the paper, get this. It was not until after the shooting that the officer discovered his fatal mistake. The 2 men who had entered the bar with the gang were not part of the mob. I like that. Not part of the mob.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish it, Joey.
Yeah, hold your horses. Not part of the mob. Instead, they were 2 innocent taxi drivers that the leader of the mob had forced to stay behind to act as shields so that the actual robbers might escape under cover of the violence directed against the taxi drivers. Boy, is that the payoff.
Yeah, those dopes standing there. You know, I can just see them.
Imagine what they've done. They start beating up those taxi drivers, and the cop comes and bang, bang. Law and order lays them out cold and says, Too bad I only got two of them.
They dead, Joey?
No, only one. Here, listen. One of the drivers, George Beaver, age 51, died instantly. The other, Edgar Benedetto, 34, is in City Hospital, where his condition is listed as critical. Boy, I ask you, ain't that the best scream you ever heard? Yeah. Sit down, Gaines. Why don't you sit down?
If he dies, Mr. Prager, I don't know what I'll do.
Now, why blame yourself? You made a mistake any cop might have.
A mistake?
That's right. Anyone could have done it. No one blames you.
I killed a man, an innocent man, and there's another one inside there in the operating room, and he may die, too. I murdered two men.
You didn't murder anyone. You accidentally shot two men in the line of duty. Look, I saw the face of the man who really murdered Beaver, the leader of that gang. It was a cruel face and a vicious one. He's the murderer, if anyone is.
I tell you, if Benedetto dies, Mr.
Gaines,
Prager,
I'll make you a promise. I'll find that man. I know his face from somewhere. I don't care how long it takes or what I have to do, but I'll find him.
That man, Benedetto, in the operating room. I checked up on him. He's 34. Been driving a cab since he was 21. Got a wife and two kids. A girl, 7, and a little baby, 21 months. I killed their father. I made a widow out of his wife.
Stop it, Gaines. You've got to stop it. In the first place, Benedetto's not dead.
No, only one of them's dead. Only Beaver's dead. Only a 51-year-old man's dead. That's not so bad, is it?
Why do you torture yourself?
Yeah, maybe I ought to just go outside.
Sit down and just wait, man. Try it. Maybe it won't be so bad. Yes? What is it, Doctor?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Mr. Benedetto died on the operating table.
Gaines, are these all the pictures in your rogues gallery?
That's right, Mr. Prager.
Well, let's get started. That batch there will do. I'll know that face when I see it. You turn him, Gaines, I'll call if I see anything.
All right.
Nope, it's none of those. Let's see some more.
You aren't going to find him.
Keep going, Gaines. Just keep going. What did you do that for? Why'd you throw him down?
Well, what's the use? We won't find him. What's the use of anything?
Look, I told you before, you've got to get that crazy idea out of your head that you're responsible for the death of those drivers.
I killed them, didn't I?
Gaines, try to listen to me. I'm going after the man who led that holdup, the man who's really responsible for the death of those drivers.
Well, that's going to be dangerous, Mr. Prager. If it gets around you're hunting a crook, you'll lose all your contacts. You won't be able to get the inside on anything.
I'll take that chance. I can take your...
Set a byline on these stories. You won't dare let anyone know who's doing the job.
That's not the most important thing in the world.
And you get too close to this guy, there's no telling what might happen to you.
I can still take care of myself. I'll pick up those pictures and let's finish looking at them. And get rid of the idea you killed anyone.
Yeah, okay, sure. I'll just forget the whole thing. Like it never happened. Only what do I do when I see a kid on the street and he reminds me of Benedetto's kids? What do I do at night to make me forget so I can go to sleep? Tell me that.
And you, Ted Prager of the Daily News, you look at his eyes as he says these words, and you realize that this is a lot more than a story for your paper, important as that is. Yes, you want to help catch that crook with the patent leather hair and the steely eyes, but a man's sanity is at stake as well. The sanity of a nice Irish patrolman named Matt Gaines. That's also at stake. And you watch his big, open face as he listlessly turns the pictures in front of him. And you know you've got a job on your hands. A big one. ¶¶
let's pause right here. We'll return to Bob Sloan in the big story in a moment.
Dimension X.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Hopalong Cassidy.
Edgar Bergen.
The Shadow.
John and Blanche Bickerson.
The Whistler.
Choose from among thousands of downloadable old-time radio shows and spoken word titles at
MediaBay.com.
The best voice on the net.
Yeah.
And now let's rejoin the big story and the conclusion of A Manhunt in Manhattan.
You, Ted Prager, night reporter for the New York Daily News, get moving on your search for a smooth-haired bandit who held up a bar and caused the accidental death of two taxi drivers. And though you know what you're doing is dangerous, it may cost you your job or maybe even your life, and even if you get anything, you won't be able to write it with your byline, you start making the rounds. You start combing through those smoke-filled bars where crimes are hatched and dips meet to talk over their successes.
And you know what she did? She went right up to him and scratched her initials in his cheek.
What did he do to her, May? Tell him that.
I'll drink your beer.
Hold it, May. What do you want, bud?
Nothing. Just looking.
Well, we don't allow looking in here. Scram.
Hello, Matt. Ted calling. No, nothing yet. Don't give up, fella. I've only been to about a dozen places. I'll find him. Beer, please.
Right, one beer.
You never should have done it. Using a couple of taxi drivers for shills.
Why not, Mixie?
Because it makes it tough for us. They doubled the cops in this area. They're watching every minute of the day. For him, yeah. But meantime, it makes it tough on us.
Oh, never thought of that.
Well, I did. Ask Millie here about him. She was there when it happened.
Right in the place? No kidding?
That's right. Right in the place when he walked in. The bar on East 7th.
Did he take you for anything?
Got $20 out of my bag. And a ring that Maxie gave me, worth $80.
No kidding.
Sure. And he didn't have to do that with the drivers. I tell you, I'd like to make it hot for that wise guy. I'd like to sing a little tune.
Hey, shut up. Won't sing no tune for anybody. Can't you see there's people around?
Hi. I'm interested in what you said there, Millie.
I don't know you. I didn't say a word.
Beat it.
Look, if you... want to make a little money?
I said to...
Okay. Okay. Only if you change your mind, my name is Ted Prager. There's people around can tell you what...
You don't exist.
Well, boys, like I always say, another day, another $8,000.
Oh, Joey, you're really in there.
We've been quiet now a month. I think it's time we stop being quiet. Even here, people stop talking about me. A job I pulled with the taxi drivers. So?
What's the caper, Joey?
You like this one, Moose? You like this special because this one is more my style. Listen. Prager speaking.
Ted, this is Benson on the city desk. You get down to East Side Hall.
Sure, what's up?
Just got word for about a big holdup. Some girl was being confirmed. Big party and all that. Three men did the job.
What can I see?
You can see the girl herself. She was only a kid, too. 14.
Right. Give me the address. I'm on my way.
Came in, Mr.
Mr. Prager, and they just took everything.
I see. What did the leader of the gang look like?
He was terrible. He had his hair all smoothed down and oily, and a smile on his face.
Uh-huh. Did he laugh? Out loud, I mean?
Yes, sir. Especially when he came after me.
What did he do to you?
Well, I had my ring. My father just gave it to me for my confirmation. It was a ring with diamonds, Mr. Prager, so I... Well, to keep him from getting it, I put it in my mouth.
Yes?
Well, he came up to me with that smile on his face, and he put his thumb on one side of my cheek and his fingers on the other.
Why is that?
And he squeezed until I couldn't stand it anymore.
He's back. Oh, he's back on the job. Don't you worry. I'll find that man.
You can't park that car here, mister.
Matt.
Oh, it's you.
I've been driving around looking for you. Can you get in?
What for?
He's back at it again, the guy we're looking for. He's around town. Can you come with me?
Well, yeah, I'm off duty, but what for?
Because I'm going hunting for him. For that patent leather hair and the smile. I want company. Hop in.
Now we've been driving around 3 hours. What do you expect to find this crook? Just standing on a corner?
Maybe. You never can tell, he might... Matt.
What's the matter?
Right there.
Where?
On the corner. Wouldn't he be right on the corner of Essex and Hester in broad daylight?
That one?
The one talking to the girl as if he didn't have a care in the world.
You mean it, Ted?
Take him, Matt. It's yours.
Oh, brother, will I take him.
Ted, I just saw Mr. Dennis. The prosecuting attorney?
Yep. He says he needs a positive witness.
Our friend denies everything?
Of course. Never was in the 7th Street bar. Never held up anybody. Used taxi drivers as shields? What, him? Joey Rice do a thing like that?
Oh, so that's his name, Joey Rice.
Slick as they come. Smooth. It'll be tough to pin it on him.
Okay, Matt. I'll go in and see Mr. Dennis.
Oh, no, you can't identify Rice.
Why not?
Because it would finish you as a police reporter, cut off all your contacts. And that's not all it might cut off.
I'll take a chance.
No, Ted, don't.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Get Rice before me on a one-way screen. I'll identify him. Then let Mr. Dennis prepare his case. If he needs me in court, I'll testify.
Now you're talking sense.
So are you, Matt.
All right, Rice. That way. Walk that way.
What is this?
Just a little matter of identification, Rice. As prosecuting attorney, I thought it might be a good idea to identify you. Get over to those chalk marks now and just stand still.
Light on him okay for you, Mr. Prager?
That's fine, Mr. Dennis.
Well?
That's the man held up the 7th Street bar.
You sure?
Yes, Mr. Dennis. I'm absolutely sure.
Okay, Sergeant, take him away.
Thanks for the identification. I needed that. Next time you see him, he'll be in court. On trial for robbery and criminal assault.
Look at him. Look at Joe Rice smiling, Matt.
Yeah, but what are we gonna do?
I don't know. Maybe Mr. Dennis has an idea.
He looks plenty worried.
Oh, here comes the judge.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Judge Bernard Smith presiding. Court is in session.
There goes Dennis.
Your Honor.
Mr. Dennis, yes?
Your Honor, as prosecuting attorney, I must protest the appearance of the defendant. If it please the court, it is obvious that the reason the defendant, Joseph Rice, came into this courtroom today wearing a full beard is to make absolute identification of himself impossible. Your Honor, we allege the defendant committed the crimes he's charged with a clean-shaven face. And consequently, he must, in the interest of justice and equity, be ordered to shave off the beard he has grown, which is a patent dodge and a ruse.
Your Honor! Your Honor!
The attorney for the defendant.
Your Honor, my client, Joseph Rice, likes to wear a beard. He thinks a beard becomes him. And I say that every man has the constitutional right, if not the God-given right, to shave or not to shave. To wear a beard or not to wear a beard.
Order, please. Order. This is a very complicated question, gentlemen. We'll have to rule on that. Court is adjourned.
Never been decided before. Could go against us, and we'd be licked before we start.
He can't be ordered to shave, Mr. Dennis.
It's never been decided before, Prager.
What are we going to do, sir?
I wish I had an idea, Gaines.
Mr. Prager.
Millie.
Can I talk to you a minute?
Why, sure.
Mister, I seen what happened, what he pulled. I'd like to get up on that stand.
You would, Millie?
It'd be a pleasure, mister.
Can you positively identify Joey, even with his beard, as the man who held up the 7th Street bar?
I could do it if he was standing upside down.
Okay, Millie. The prosecuting attorney's right over there, but what changed your mind?
That little trick he pulled on the girl being confirmed, remember?
Sure, I remember.
That little girl is my kid cousin.
And she testifies that beard or no beard, it was Joey Rice who held up that bar. You look over at Patrolman Matt Gaines as the trial winds up. And for the first time in months, the man's smiling. He's a human being again. And you've got your big story. Yes, but nobody knows it. Nobody knows it until now, this very night, on a radio program called The Big Story. Not until now can you say, well, this is the job I did. This is the role I played. Ted Prager, night reporter of the New York Daily News.
We read you that telegram from Ted Prager of the New York Daily News.
Hold-up man in tonight's big story was quickly convicted by jury. But while awaiting sentence, he became violent and was officially declared to be insane. He was therefore transferred to the asylum at Matawan, where he is still confined.
The Big Story is produced by Bernard J. Proctor and directed by Harry Ingram, with music by Vladimir Zelensky. Tonight's program was written by Arnold Pearl. Your narrator was Bob Sloan, and William Quinn played the part of Ted Prager. All names in tonight's story, except that of Mr. Prager, were fictitious, but the dramatization was based on a true and authentic case.
This has been the Relic Radio Show. You can find past episodes of this series, more old-time radio, more podcasts, everything else Relic Radio at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to support this and all the shows. If you'd like to, just click on that donate button. That's how this is all made possible. Thanks to everyone who has. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.